This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
If you ever found yourself drowning in a project at work, staying up all night trying to figure out something that a quick conversation could have solved, or pushing through a personal crisis alone because you didn't want it to burden anyone else, then this message is just for you. You have tuned in to another episode of The Double-Edged Factor. I am your host, Rob Manuel. And peace and blessings unto you. Before we get going, be sure to like, follow, and hit that subscribe button, because the more positive interactions you put out there, the more they push this podcast to people who've never heard it before, which will allow us to grow and have a greater impact on more people around the world. So if you would do me that huge favor, I would really appreciate it. We live in a culture that worships self-reliance. From our childhood, we're taught that independence is strength, that needing others is a weakness, and that successful people are those who can handle everything on their own. But here's what I've learned. This myth isn't just wrong, it's really dangerous. I remember talking to a friend who was struggling with severe anxiety. For months, she suffered in silence. Convinced that reaching out to a therapist or even confiding in friends would mean that she was broken or not strong enough. Meanwhile, her relationships were just deteriorating. Her work had suffered and her health started to decline. When she finally did ask for help, she told me something profound. She said, I wish I had known that asking for help wasn't about giving up. It was actually the first step towards getting my life back. Now, this is something we really need to understand. Asking for help isn't a sign of failure. It's a sign of wisdom, a sign of courage, and emotional intelligence. Let me say that again. Asking for help isn't a sign of failure. It's a sign of wisdom, of courage, and emotional intelligence. Let's start by changing how we think about help itself. Help isn't a charity. It's not a one-way transaction where you're taking something from someone else. Help is actually a form of connection, collaboration, and community building. When you ask someone for help, you're doing several powerful things. One, you're honoring their expertise and experience. You're creating an opportunity for a deeper relationship. You're modeling vulnerability and authenticity. You're contributing to a culture where support is just normalized. So think about the last time someone asked you for help with something that you knew well. How did that make you feel? Most of us feel honored. We feel useful, connected when others ask us for help. We're actually giving others a gift when we allow them to contribute to our lives. Let me share a story that could help you understand more about vulnerability and asking for help. Elijah, a man who had just experienced one of the greatest spiritual victories in history, learns that even spiritual giants need help. So picture this. Elijah had just called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, defeating 450 prophets of Baal in an epic showdown that demonstrated God's power to all of Israel. It was the ultimate spiritual high, a moment of complete triumph and vindication. But then Queen Jezebel sent him a message, said, may the gods deal with me, but it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that one of them, meaning the dead prophets of Baal. And here's what happened next. The same Elijah who had just called down fire from heaven, who had outrun a chariot, who had been fearless in the face of hundreds of false prophets. And this dude decides to run. He ran for his life, traveling a day's journey into the wilderness. And then, exhausted and overwhelmed, he sat down under a broom tree and prayed. He prayed a prayer that might surprise you. He said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. This mighty prophet, this man of God, had reached his breaking point. He was burnt out, depressed, and ready to give up. He felt completely alone and convinced that his ministry had failed. But here's the beautiful part of the story. God didn't shame Elijah for his weakness. Instead, God provided exactly what Elijah needed. An angel appeared and provided food and water. Then Elijah had rested and had eaten. God led him to Mount Horeb for a personal encounter. But even more significantly, God addressed Elijah's deepest fear that he was alone on his mission. Elijah said, I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. God's response was profound. He said, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all of whose knees have now bowed down to Baal. God was trying to say, Elijah, you're not alone. You were never alone. There are 7,000 others who share the same faith and your mission. Then God did something else remarkable. He gave Elijah a partner. He told him to appoint Elijah as his successor and companion in ministry. From that point forward, Elijah just wasn't ministering alone. So you see, Elijah's story just teaches us several profound lessons about asking for help and accepting support. First, even after our greatest victories, we can find ourselves in need of help. Elijah's breakdown came right after his greatest triumph. Success doesn't make us immune to burnout, depression, or need support. Sometimes our highest highs are followed by our lowest lows. Secondly, admitting we've had enough isn't a sign of spiritual failure. It's a sign of honesty. Elijah's prayer under the broom tree wasn't faithless. It was authentic. God honored his honesty rather than condemning him in his vulnerability. Third, God's response to our weakness is provision, not condemnation. When Elijah was at his lowest point, God didn't lecture him about having more faith. Instead, God provided practical help, food, rest, and companionship. Fourth, we often feel more alone than we actually are. Elijah believed he was alone and the only faithful person left, but God revealed that there were 7,000 others. You know, sometimes asking for help connects us with a community of support that we didn't even know existed. Fifth, God often provides ongoing partnership, not just a one-time rescue. God didn't just help Elijah through this crisis. He gave him a partner, a long-term ministry partner in Elisha. The best help creates sustainable support system.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father. Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Not just temporary fixes. And we will be right back. Today's show is brought to you by Polished Custom Builders, where they specialize in building your dream into a reality through custom home building, renovations, and interior design. Check them out at polishedcustombuilders.com, where the most beautiful house in the world is the one that you build yourself. Now, let's get practical. How do we actually learn to ask for help without feeling like we're failing? Here are some concrete strategies that you can use. First, start small. Build the muscle. Begin by asking for help with low-stakes situations. Ask a coworker for their opinion on an email before sending it. You can ask for a restaurant recommendation. You can ask a neighbor to water your plants while you're away. These small requests help you build the neural pathways of asking for help in situations where the risk is really feels manageable. Number two, reframe help as learning instead of thinking, I can figure this out, which kind of feels like failure. So try thinking, I want to learn from someone who knows more than I do, which feels like growth. This simple reframe changes asking for help from an admission of weakness to an investment in your development. Number three, practice the three-step ask. Think about this. It's three frames, right? Context, you have specific request, and you have appreciation. So, context, you can briefly explain the situation. Specific requests, be clear about exactly what kind of help you need. And appreciation, of course, is expressing gratitude and acknowledge that they are an expert at what they do. For example, I'm working on a presentation for next week's board meet. Would you be willing to review my outline and give me some feedback on the flow of it? I really value your experience with executive communication. Number four, reciprocate. When appropriate, offer something in return. This doesn't mean you need to create a transactional relationship, but show that you're willing to contribute to others. Helps kind of balance the exchange. You know, like, I'd be happy to return the favor if there's ever anything you need I can help with. Number five, I talked about this before, schedule regular check-ins. Don't wait until you're drowning to ask for help. Schedule regular check-ins with mentors, trusted colleagues, or even your friends where you're asking for that advice and that support, because it helps build it into your conversation. What this does is normalize help-seeking as an ongoing practice rather than an emergency measure. Number six, distinguish between help and rescue. There is a difference between asking for help and asking to be rescued. Help involves you remaining actively engaged in solving your own problem while benefiting from the other's input, their resources, and even their support. Rescue involves the other person taking totally over your responsibilities. So aim for help, not the rescue. Now let's address some of those internal barriers that keep us from asking for help. Things like, I should be able to figure this out myself. Says who? This belief assumes that competence means never needing input from others. But the most competent people are often those who know how to leverage the knowledge and skills of others effectively. How about, I don't want to be a burden? This assumes that helping others is burdensome rather than meaningful. most people actually enjoy being helpful when asked respectfully and specifically. How about, what if they say no? They might, and that's okay. And a no, to your request for help isn't judgment or worth. It's simply a reflection of their current capacity and expertise. How about, I'll lose credibility if people see me struggling. Actually, research shows that people who demonstrate vulnerability and ask for help when appropriate are often seen as more trustworthy and authentic than less credible. Here's something powerful you can do. Be someone who makes it easy for others to ask for help. You see, when you normalize help seeking in your own relationships and communities, you create an environment where everyone benefits. Model good help seeking behavior. When someone helps you, acknowledge it publicly when appropriate. Share stories about the times when asking for help led to better outcomes. Create systems in your workplace or family when checking in and offering support is built into your regular rhythm. When Elijah accepted God's help in partnership with Elisha, it didn't just restore Elijah. It actually created powerful mentoring relationships that strengthened both men. Elijah went on to perform even greater miracles than Elijah, and their partnership became one of the most significant in biblical history. The help that Elijah received multiplied his impact rather than diminish it. This is what happens when you ask for help well. We don't just survive our crisis. We often discover communities and partnerships we never knew were possible. We model authentic humanity for others. We give people opportunities to be a part of something meaningful. We build networks or mutual support that often benefit everyone. So as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a challenge. Before this week is over, identify one area where you've been struggling alone and ask someone for help. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Maybe you just need advice on a decision you're facing. Maybe you could just use some brainstorming on an idea on a project. Maybe you need emotional support during a difficult season. Whatever it is, practice seeing the request not as an admission of failure, but as an act of wisdom and courage. So remember, Elijah, the mighty prophet who discovered that his moment of greatest vulnerability came after the doorway to deeper community and renewed purpose. Learning to ask for help without feeling like you're failing isn't just about solving immediate problems. It's about fundamentally changing how you engage with the world. It's about moving from a mindset of scarcity and competition to one of abundance and collaboration. It's about recognizing that we're never meant to go through life alone, and that our inner connectedness isn't a weakness to overcome, but it's actually a strength to embrace. The next time you find yourself struggling with something, remember Elijah under the broom tree. Remember that even the mightiest spiritual warriors have moments of exhaustion and need. Remember that asking for help isn't about giving up. It's about opening it up. It's not about failing. It's about being human. It's not a weakness. It's about a pathway to discovering a community of support that God has already prepared for you. Thank you for listening. And remember, the strongest among us are not those who never fall, but those who know how to reach out when they need some help so they can get back up. This is Rob Manuel with the Double Edge Factor. And if you found this episode or even a few words value added, share this episode with just one person. The only way we grow this podcast is when you guys share it. The more you share, the greater impact we have on more listeners around the world. So hit that subscribe button to never miss another episode, or you can find the Double Edge Factor on linktree.com, where you can join that free email list and have access to all of our social media outlets. And as I always say, be intentional with your words, your thoughts, and your actions, and always find a way to be a blessing to someone else today.